Welcome into the fan pregame. 30 minutes tonight up on Sportsnet 360, then shifting to 590 for Leafs pregame. We are about 20-ish hours until the trade deadline. Elliot Friedman will join us in a few moments to break down at least a dozen trades in the last 24 hours and more to come.
Yeah, including one made by the Toronto Maple Leafs. We have Molson Leaf hockey, as you mentioned, Bruins and Maple Leafs, the rematch in about a half hour. We'll talk about that matchup, but we'll also talk about Joel Edmondson, and we'll do so with Gord Stellick.
Raptors also back in action tonight, looking to bounce back from maybe one of the worst losses in franchise history. No way to go but up. They face the Suns tonight on Sportsnet 1. That's at 9 p.m. We're going to tee that up in a little bit as well.
And of course, best bets still to come within the next half hour.
All right. We were, I guess, promised maybe a breaking news trade by Elliot Friedman just because he did it with another another squad. So let's bring him in. Elliot Friedman of 32 Thoughts, a podcast on Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, thanks for jumping on. I know you're a busy guy.
No worries, guys. You know what? It's so crazy right now. Like, I always follow the Raptors, and, like, I always keep an eye on what they're doing. And I was listening to your tease there and saying they suffered a bad loss, and I had no idea. I'm literally going to the Sportsnet app to check out, like, who they lost to.
They lost by 41 points to the Pelicans at home, their worst home defeat ever.
Oh, you know what? I'll tell you, I think if the previous one was still that Orlando one, I was at that game. Oh, I remember covering that Orlando game. That was Shaq, and the Raptors were shorthanded. And was that the one? Was that the previous record?
Yeah,
the Orlando game?
You gotta ask Will Liu in the Raptors night. Show.
That was a crazy night.
Well, they've topped it. And Scotty Barnes is out, so it might be like that
right
for the rest
now,
of the season, unfortunately. But let's switch back to the NHL and the trade deadline. I think
sure.
If there's a theme so far, Friege, it's that there's freedom in having won. I mean, the last two Stanley Cup champions, Vegas and Colorado, have been the most aggressive to this point. I think Colorado's got about a third of the deals done themselves, and Vegas clearly big game hunting. What does that say, that the two teams that have won, what does it say about the general state of managing teams in the NHL these days?
Well, you know, I think one of the things it says is that you have to be aggressive. You have to know what you want. You have to have a plan. You need things that people want, right? And I think you also have to be in a state of perpetually wanting to win. Like, one thing about, like, never being satisfied. I think, you know, Vegas, they won last year. They don't care. Like, they want to win again. I think that Colorado, they won 2 years ago. They don't care. They want to win again. And they have really competitive people who are, you know, running their teams. Kelly McCrimmon is as competitive as it gets. And, you know, Chris McFarland is now kind of running the day-to-day operations of the Avalanche, and he's competitive. But Sakic, like people always say, do not underestimate. They used to call him quoteless Joe, but do not underestimate how competitive he is. And, you know, it's funny, guys. Like, I had an owner talk to me about the difference between Canada and the U.S. We were talking about it last week. And, you know, he said to me, and I know there's a few people in the league who feel it. They do feel that the difference between the discourse and the way the league is covered in Canada and in the States is a factor. And, you know, I kind of look at it in a couple of different ways. Sometimes I wonder if that's too much of an excuse. Sometimes I wonder if I'm the problem. But, you know, I do think that I do think there is something, and everybody can argue what percentage that is, guys, but I do think there is something that you can work quieter in the States that you can in Canada. And I know some of the Canadian teams, they're sometimes a little bit all over us about that, and they feel very strongly about that. But on days like this, I kind of wonder if that's a factor.
We're talking about Vegas, and I guess perspective, it kind of leads perfectly into this one. How do you think other teams or even, I guess, media are viewing Vegas around the league? I know that the Noah Hanifin situation is one part of it, but them just stocking up, as you mentioned, and seemingly finding a way to do it around this time every year. Is there any like side-eye emojis at any of that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there always is, Ailish. I mean, I saw all the memes last night, like the Steve Austin, Vince McMahon meme, and people were putting Kelly McCrimmon and Mark Stone's heads on it. And, you laugh at all that stuff. Like, you like people having fun on the Internet. And I'm sure there's some teams that look at it and say, and they don't like it. This has come up before. But here's the thing. Like, it would be very difficult for me to criticize this A-list, because if I had the opportunity, I would do the exact same thing. Like, I always judge other people about how I judge myself. And I know that if that opportunity was open to me, I would do it for sure. Like, I know the way I GM in fantasy football. And I've almost been kicked out of leagues before because of some of the stuff I've tried to pull off. So, like, I would do the same thing. And, you know, the other thing with Mark Stone is, like, this injury, the lacerated spleen, it's not like it's an illegitimate injury. And one thing I do think is, you know, behind the scenes, the league fights this stuff a lot harder than they used to. You know, like when Shea Weber said he wasn't going to play anymore after the Canadians went to the Stanley Cup final, that was like the league really went hard at the Canadians, because that led into the expansion draft, right? Mm-hmm. And that led to a lot of issues where they really chased them and said, you know, prove to us that you're not breaking the rules. You'll remember a couple, I don't remember if it was last year or it was a couple years ago, maybe it was last year, where the Leafs had to call up or had to sign those two goaltenders from University Hockey.
One of the guys' name was Jet.
Oh, yeah. Jet Alexander.
That's it.
Yeah. And so, like, there was a chance that one of those guys was going to have to play. I can't remember if it was in Florida or in Tampa. And that was a huge game for the Islanders chasing the playoffs outside of that game. And like they were going to force the Leafs to play one of those two goalies. And I think Dubas at one point, look, if you want us to do it, we'll do it. But this game means everything to the Islanders, and tomorrow night's game doesn't. And I hope I'm getting the story right. And finally, the league backed away because of that. But they do fight this a lot harder than they used to. There's no question about that.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman, of course, of Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada. Among other learnings, I think, you know, we're getting a sense of the tri-living way here in Toronto. I think with these moves that he's made so far, he's showing a want to make fundamental change, but maybe he doesn't have the ammunition to exact it in a meaningful way. He wants to change how this defensive core looks and acts and feels, but hey, can you make the deal that makes it so that you can truly play out what you want to do and have it to maximum effect? But I can't get over the fact that, hey, they're adding here and they're adding something specific. So what does that mean for the guys who aren't 6'8", who are already on this blue line? Have you heard anything about the possibility of the Leafs maybe moving a defenseman, given that they have a surplus and clearly they prefer it one way compared to what, you know, what they have right now?
Well, I think right now, like, one of the issues has simply been, Justin, that guys keep getting hurt, right? And, well, look, like, if you look the other night, you go back, they lose that game to Boston, and he says, Sheldon Keith says, we couldn't defend in front of our net, right? And mm-hmm. That's what Joel Edmondson does really well. Like, I think there's a very short line between what he said and what they did today. Like, for everything you want to say about Joel Edmondson, positive or negative, if there's one thing he knows how to do, it's clear bodies out of the front of the net. And I don't think that's a coincidence. Look, the one thing is, do I think he would move a defenseman? Yeah, I think potentially would. I think Tre-Living has shown he would do anything. But the bottom line is, I think there's two things at play here, Justin. Number one, for the most part, this team has overachieved this year with a lot of the issues they have faced. And I think he thinks about that. And number two, this team has proven this year that you can never have too many defensemen. Like, you know, how many times have they thought, okay, we've got a full group of D and then Giordano gets hurt, or Liljegren gets hurt, or Lyubushkin gets hurt, luckily not seriously, in the first game he plays with them. I still think he's looking for a righty. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So depending on what's available in terms of a right-hander, that could determine what he does here.
Last one on the Leafs before we move across the NHL, but obviously defense been the main priority. Do you think there's a chance that they add any depth forward, centerman? Yes. I know we've been talking about that a little bit before tomorrow at 3 p.m.
Yes, I wondered about Dowd from Washington. As a matter of fact, when I first heard that they acquired Edmondson today, I wondered if there was any chance that they were going to do both of them. But, you know, that obviously didn't happen. I have wondered about Dowd from Washington. The player who was traded today from Nashville to Colorado, Trennan, that's another guy who I wondered would be on Toronto's radar. Like, that's the kind of guy that Tree Living really likes, and he's a banger, a pretty good one. And I think we're all kind of watching to see what happens over the next 24 hours with Carrier from Nashville, because I think there's a few teams, and Toronto's one of them, has kind of looked at him. So I think those are, and there's a chance he could either resign or he could be dealt. So, yes, I do think they continue to look for a depth forward, whether it's a center or something like that. I think both of those things, I think that still remains on Toronto's radar.
So we talked about Vegas being this ultra-aggressive team that has the freedom to just go after it because they won, and, hey, they want to win again. I mean, it wouldn't be necessarily fair to call Carolina the antithesis to Vegas because, you know, they, not that they're aggressive at all, but they do things wisely, and, of course, Vegas does things wisely as well. But Carolina, it seems like, hey, if they adopted a little bit of that Vegas style and just went after it, man, it would really help them get over the top as they keep falling short in these playoff runs. Like, Gensel's out there. They've been connected to Gensel. Will they change their ways for a guy like Gensel?
I do think they've been in on Gensel. I think the thing that's going on with Gensel is I think that, you know, like Pittsburgh, what they're trying to do is they're trying to push out the best trade that they can possibly make. And what I think they've kind of done is, like, I've always felt that Carolina was the team that, I think I said this a few times, Carolina is the team that Pittsburgh liked their the prospects the most. And, but what I think they've tried to do is they've tried to push Carolina a bit, and the other teams who've entered, whether it's been Vancouver or the Rangers or Vegas or Colorado, and, I've said I don't think Vancouver's going to be able to pull this off. I think the Rangers and Vegas, and I find it hard to figure out where Colorado is here. I've heard they tried after they cleared all the cap room yesterday. I had some people say to me they don't think they can do it. I have other people say to me, hang on, they're still in the weeds. So it's like that group of four-ish. I've always think that the team that Pittsburgh liked the best in terms of who could be available was Carolina. And I do believe Carolina's made an offer. And I do think they're prepared to bend their strategy pending, you know, what happens after they trade for him. All of that said, I think that what Dubas has tried is simply to say, okay, now my job is to get everybody to up their offers until they can't push anyone any further or they absolutely get something they want. And I think that's where we are. I think they're trying to push teams to up their offers. And that's why we're in this kind of news vacuum that could end at any time. I still do think they prefer to get this done today as opposed to wait till tomorrow.
New Jersey Devils Tyler Toffoli will be held out of the lineup tonight. I'm seeing Canucks. I'm seeing a little bit of other, like maybe a three-team triangle around him. What's the latest that you've heard on Tyler Toffoli?
Well, as you say, he's not going to play tonight. I know there's a lot of talk about L.A., and I do think in a perfect world, that's what L.A. and Toffoli would do. I just think they're really tight. They are really tight. Like, I think L.A. had a lot of interest in Riley Smith, who's also available from Pittsburgh, and I just heard it was really complicated. So, like, I'm not saying it's impossible that Toffoli could end up in L.A. I've just heard it's going to be really, really complicated for them to do. So, you know, like I said, doesn't mean it's impossible. It just means it's going to be hard. I do think Vancouver has interest, but in the 6 hours it's been since I've been on the air, I've had people again say to me where this could go. It could be tough for Vancouver to do. So we'll see. But I think there's a lot of teams looking for forwards. Who doesn't get Gensel? Rangers, Florida, Vegas. Like I do think the reason he's being held out is because they know there's interest. And I think it's going to be someone who doesn't think they can get Gensel or doesn't get Gensel.
Do you think we could see a three-team blockbuster where Lindholm moves out of Vancouver for any of these trades? I mean, that would be pretty fun for tomorrow on air all day, right, Elliot?
Well, it would be. It would be fantastic. I don't like. I've heard that rumor, and I've talked a little bit about that rumor, like Lindholm to Boston, DeBrus to Pittsburgh, and then it was obviously Gensel to Vancouver. I don't believe that deal's going to happen. I don't think, it might have been discussed conceptually, but I don't think it ever got close to happening, and I don't think it's going to happen. You know, Rick Tocchet had some interesting comments about Lindholm today. Like, he said he went and talked to him, and I just wonder if they're trying to settle him down there and calm the noise.
Yeah, three-way trade like that could definitely carry a deadline show tomorrow, no question about that. The Oilers have made a couple moves. They've added Adam Henrique, Carrick, and Stetcher today. Looking at their team, I mean, seven NHL defensemen, 13, 14 NHL forwards. I guess you could say they could be done, but do the Oilers have another move up their sleeve?
Well, I think, like, they made their first trade yesterday, and they said they were going to go get a depth D. They went and they got a depth D today in Stetcher, and the word out of there is they're probably done. Now, I always am afraid of that, of those kinds of proclamations. Like, I know this whole Jordan Eberle situation is standing in Seattle, and it's a little bit of poker. I had heard initially that Seattle was prepared to keep Eberle past the deadline. There's been some reporting that now they're not prepared to do that, and I don't know if this is wrong or anything like that. But, like, it just shows you how crazy things are at this time of year. And now the Hurricanes have put out that Michael Bunting is not playing tonight. So I'll tell you this. I know earlier in the season, Bunting was available, and they spoke to Pittsburgh about him. So let's see what happens.
One last quick one for you, Elliot. I know you're doing double duty right now, but most intriguing watch a team to watch up to 3 p.m. tomorrow, either sellers, buyers, or someone that can do a curveball and do both.
Well, I think we've all been watching Calgary. That's a team that that's a team to watch. I think it's been quiet around there today. I would say that's a great question. Ailish, and I would say that the one team we haven't heard a lot of, but there's been noise around, has been St. Louis. And so let's see how their GM feels as they head into the deadline tomorrow.
All right, Elliot, we appreciate your time. You were right. The last record was the Magic game. So they did break that this week. So don't rush to watch any Raptors.
And it was flying under the radar until this very moment.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Elliot. Enjoy tomorrow. Best of luck and hopefully get some rest after 3 p.m. tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Elliot Friedman of 32 Thoughts Podcast and Hockey Night in Canada, of course. I think he was doing a little bit of multitasking because Michael Bunting being tweeted out there, Hurricanes PR saying he will miss tonight's game for trade-related reasons. There's some intrigue there between the Penguins and Bunting. As Elliot was saying, they've been pushing hard. Maybe they want to do a Gensel swap-a-roo. Not sure, but something to keep an eye on. Maybe Michael Bunting back to Toronto? No.
Back to Pittsburgh. $4.5 million, two more years after this one for Michael Bunting. So, you know, that's kind of the MO here, at least it seems, for Kyle Dubas. He wants to think about the future, but he knows he has to supplement the current and the legendary players that they still have on this roster with Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Chris Letang. So I guess Bunting would replace Gensel in some ways, and of course that would bring back some other prospects. This wouldn't be a one-for-one. I imagine it wouldn't be of that ilk. It would have to involve getting better, or not getting better necessarily, but getting a body in for the next couple of years, but also a young player as well, at the very least, to satisfy the future needs as well.
No, I was saying maybe Michael Bunting to Toronto. Would you take Michael Bunting on this lease roster right now?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, 4.5 is just too much. Even if you cut that in half.
50% retained.
2.25. You might have to be 75%. But I just... Where does he fit? I'm just kidding. Him and Kyle can enjoy themselves in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I don't think Kyle's training with Toronto anytime soon. No. Well, that was great to hear from Elliot. Of course, they're going to be a full day tomorrow on Sportsnet. We're going to have lots of coverage, panels galore. We will also be on at 2 p.m. on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So you can check us out there. But you will get all your content all day long as the trade deadline approaches 3 p.m. tomorrow. We mentioned it with Elliot. Raptors are back in action tonight. So if you need a break from hockey, Raptors and Suns on Sportsnet 1 tonight, 9 p.m. They get a bounce back, but this is not an easy opponent to do so. They lost 41 by 41 points to the Pelicans earlier this week. They're starting a four-game road trip. Maybe they just need to get out there and get to Phoenix. No Booker in the lineup, but also no Barnes or Jakob Poeltl. So Raptors are shorthanded.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be, I mean, we could probably just like clip that lead in and just continue to do it for each game for the Raptors for the rest of the season. But I feel like they're, despite Scotty Barnes not being available, which means, hey, we can't look at what the next 20 games are going to be like and apply it to next season, all that stuff. But I think some of the onus here has got to fall on Darko Rajakovic, because you look around the league and there are superstars sitting out every single night. Like every night, someone's not playing. It affects betting lines. It affects, you know, the Western and Eastern Conference races. This is not a, something that doesn't happen very often is what I'm trying to say in the NBA. It happens all
a solar eclipse.
The time. It's not like a solar eclipse. It's like the moon hitting the sky every single night. It happens
there
every
we go,
single
Justin.
Night. So Darko has to find a way to at least put a, you know, a decent step forward here. Like put something out there that is acceptable. So it's not like you're breaking records for losses every single night. Just because you don't have Scotty Barnes doesn't mean you should be non-competitive. This is where Darko, as a coach, his coaching chops should be kind of measured right now. Game plan something up. Despite being shorthanded, go into a game and actually compete hard and try to win it. Mm-hmm. Be competitive despite not having your best player. Because if you look around the NBA, every single night there are teams playing out without their best players. Darko's got to do it for the rest of the season. That doesn't mean that it's an excuse to just lose every single game down the stretch.
Darko was brought in because he's a good player development coach and he's a good people coach. This is kind of the time that you're going to push that to the limit. This isn't a time where you're putting in the championship winning coach, right? Because the team is far from that. So keep the vibes somewhat like feasible throughout the next stretch. This is a very tough stretch of basketball for the Raptors. The rest of the season is going to be up and down. And is the pick going to be there? Is the pick not going to be there? Just focus on developing the younger talent, letting them get handles, and let's just see, go one day at a time. Tonight, not the easiest. The Suns coming off a big overtime win versus the defending champs earlier this week on Tuesday night. KD had 35 points. They're six in the West, and they have a lot to play for because they could leapfrog a couple teams. So, I mean, the Suns are a big test. Like, they're, you know, Raptors are nine and a half point dogs. So it's not an easy one.
It's easy to be exactly who you are when you're at full strength, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's easy for the Raptors to go in and win some, lose some, because they're, yeah, the 12th best team, if you want to call it that, in the Eastern Conference. What makes a coach a good coach is finding a way to make it happen when you're not at full strength, when you don't have Scotty Barnes. We got to see some of that down the stretch.
All right, let's take a look at some best bets for tonight before we take a break and we do our Leafs pregame show with Gord Stellick. I'm all for new faces tonight. I think it's a fun storyline when a guy makes a debut with a new team. So I'm going to go with Tarasenko or Adam Henrique to score. Pick your poison. They're both playing on pretty damn good lines in their debut with their new teams. Tarasenko and the Florida Panthers tonight against the Flyers and the Oilers. They have the Columbus Blue Jackets, so a little bit of a safer test. So I'm going to let you pick your poison, folks.
Or parlay them up 10-1 each.
You could do that,
maybe
too.
I'm not a believer in Darko because I got the Suns, minus 10 tonight. Also, like the Celtics, one-point favorites in Denver tonight. Celtics, great regular season team. Denver, maybe the best playoff team. I think it helps the Celtics in this matchup. And the Islanders puck line, I like the Islanders to win tonight in San Jose.
Okay, so Leafs are in the road. We're going to tee that up on the other side of the break against Boston Bruins again. Still a flu bug going around the team. So they have a new face, Joel Edmondson, but apparently he is going to be arriving around game time. Reports are that probably won't play unless they need him to play physically. They don't have enough bodies. So we're going to get into all that on the other side of the break. But Leafs did make a trade earlier today. We can break that down. Gord Stellick's going to join us, obviously former Leafs GM. So this time of the year brings a lot of memories, maybe some good, maybe some less good.
Wouldn't that be kind of the perfect introduction for Edmondson to just like come in real
period,
hot? Everyone's already in their gear and you're walking in and you're going to play the game.
I think
that would be a good introduction for
kinda
a new
defenseman.
Kind
of feels like his vibe too, right?
What's that?
Kind of feels like that's his vibe.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break.
That and cross checks.
Yeah, there you go. We'll take a quick break. Gord Stellick will join us on the other side of the break. Leafs and Bruins up on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.